Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Robbie Stanley, on your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
1025.
Hey, welcome into another edition of Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. As always, I'm your host, Robbie Stanley. Preds Insiders brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Not a great night for the Nashville Predators last night. The late start last night at Bridgestone Arena. They fall 4-3 in a shootout at the hands of the Los Angeles Kings. So the Predators have now lost three in a row. Technically, lose two games in regulation in a row against Dallas and then at least a point last night against the Kings. But lots of problems right now with the Predators early in the season in terms of execution, staying out of the box, defensive zone coverage, the power play. There are several different issues that you could point to right now with the Predators, and we talked about some of those this morning on Robbie and Rex Road and what the concern level should be for this Predators team right out of the gate here as they begin the season 2-2-1. Here was that conversation this morning on Robbie and Rex Road.
You know what's not very nice? That game last night for the Nashville Predators was not great. End up losing 4-3 in a shootout to the LA Kings. And Joe, I said this, and I think most people who watched the game probably agreed with it on Twitter last night, but maybe some don't. It's game 5 of the regular season. It's the middle of October. You know, there's 77 games left for the Nashville Predators. That was a bad loss last night. I don't really know how to say it any other way. I mean, you're up 3-1 in the third period against a team that played the night before, also went to overtime the night before on the road in Detroit, and then had to travel to your place to take you on in the second half of a back-to-back. They got their backup goalie in there. You're up 3-1 in the third period. Not only up 3-1 in the third period, up 3-1 in the second half of the third period, and you blow the lead to get it to go to overtime, and then lose in the shootout. To me, that's a bad loss. Like, this is a team, you needed to win that game. This team, with the way that they're constructed, needs to close that game out when you're up 3-1 in the third period. And they got some problems right now. They're 9 penalties last night. I mean, you're not going to win very many hockey games taking 9 penalties. And look, even if you don't get lit up on the power play, which the Predators, to their credit, didn't last night. I mean, they did allow a power play goal. I think officially they may have ended up allowing 2 power play goals. I have to go back and look. There was a 4-on-4 involved in there too. But even if you're not getting lit up on the power play, there's zero momentum. Like, there's zero flow to the game when you're taking 9 penalties in a game. And they're 2-2-1. They could be in a much worse spot right now than they are. Fact of the matter is, when you factor in the 5 games, I think you could say probably for a grand total of maybe 2 games worth of game time, they've played well. I thought they played really well in the first game against San Jose. I thought they played well for about half of the second game against San Jose and about half the game last night. That's it. That's about all I've seen from the Preds thus far. And I said this last night, and I stick by it. The expectation for this team should be higher this year. And because it is higher, I personally kind of view this team through a harsher lens this year, and they got some problems right now. It was good to see Forsberg and Duchesne and Granlund kind of get things going last night as much as they could with the game flow being what it was, and you're constantly out there on the penalty kill. But 2-2-1, again, from a record standpoint, they're not really in that bad of shape. They got some problems right now. They are not playing good hockey at all right now.
Yeah, it's like, how does, like, to your point, like, how does a team get dominated? And I understand a lot of times a team's chasing a game, and so that helps dictate that. But how does a team get controlled to that extent by a team that's on a back-to-back, you know, and when you're in control of the game? How does that happen?
It's a great question. I mean, I think some of it is you're taking penalties. I mean, look, they had a power play toward the end of regulation, where even if you don't score on the power play, you're running out the clock basically at that point. And Matt Duchesne takes a stupid penalty on Drew Doughty, and all of a sudden it's 4-on-4, and they're able to tie things up. Like, it's just zero discipline with their stick fouls. And look, there was one call You know, Yossi got called for a penalty last night that I just thought was ridiculous. I mean, it was not holding. So there was a bad call mixed in there as well. But one of the nine was a bad call. Like the other seven, the other eight I thought were good. And you just can't have that. And, you know, they were the most penalized team in the league last year, and we all just kind of brushed it off as, well, I mean, they got a lot of fighting majors in there, and that's the way they play, and there's aggressiveness and all that stuff. But the stick infractions have been a problem with this group for a while. And, again, if you take nine penalties in a game, you're just probably not going to win. Like, it's hard to win that way when you're taking nine penalties. And to their credit, like, they took all those penalties. I mean, they went through a run in the second period of penalties, like just back to back to back where they could not get anything going. And then they took the lead. They're up 3-1 after two. And you're thinking to yourself, well, with all these things that have gone wrong, you're up 3-1 with a chance to close this thing out in the third period. And they just totally collapsed in the third period. They had a couple of chances to win in overtime too. And it looks to me like there's a lot of overthinking going on out there, especially on the power play. Like they're trying to make the perfect play rather than just shooting the puck. And, you know, that's a problem that they've had before on the power play. They didn't have much of that problem last year. And right now their power play, I mean, look, the power play numbers are atrocious right now.
Yeah. Well, the thing, yeah, you know, first of all, on the penalties, you know, I mean, last year there was plenty of talk too. It wasn't just that they're a big burly fighting team. You know, I mean, they had like way too many of those penalties, like the stick penalties and just the stuff that you just can't have. And sometimes it's because you get beat, but sometimes it's just like, what are you doing? And the power play, I feel like, you know, the thing is last year it's like they just had that balance of, okay, now just go ahead and send it up there and go get it. But they also made a lot of great plays, you know, like they made a lot of perfect plays. They had that chemistry and connection. And it is amazing how that thing, that in particular, can get in five people's heads.
Yeah.
You know, it's same people who did it so well. And again, it's like you said, you always have to return back to five games in here.
Right.
But it's visibly, you can tell a huge difference. The exact same people, exact same approach, all of it looked totally different doing that. And that thing was such a big part of their success last year.
Well, look, there's no reason to panic. They're 2-2-1. Like I said, they could be in a much worse spot right now. I do think if you're in that locker room, there better be some urgency coming out on Thursday as you take on Columbus. Like, more than anything, the results, you've not played well. Like, that's the main thing. Like, there's a lot of holes that they have in their game right now. Like, I thought Johansson's line last night with Niederreiter and Tolvanen was non-existent the whole game. And I don't know how much of that's on them and how much of that is they just could never get out there because they're killing penalties.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So
it's hard to even evaluate yourself in 5-on-5 when you're in the box that much.
Well, and, you know, we talked about – I threw out two things yesterday that needed to get better. You needed to have Duchesne and Forsberg get rolling a little bit, figure things out with Granlund, and they did. By the way, Granlund was awesome last night. I mean, killing penalties, moving the puck well on the power play. The first two goals of the game, he's great pass through the middle to Cody Glass, and the second pass to Forsberg was just ridiculous. He had another one in the third period
fantastic.
Where he threaded the needle to Duchesne, too. I mean, they were good last night. Herdline, need to get going offensively. Well, Tanner Jeannot puts one in last night. So a couple of things that you needed to have happen for you last night, but the overshadowing theme is the penalties, and it's a problem right now. They've already shifted the D pairings around, which I wondered if they might, because quite frankly, I don't think Alex Carey has been good so far. And he got moved down to the third pairing last night with Jeremy Lozon. Fabro goes up with Yossi, so still kind of feels like they're searching for that part a bit right now. They got some problems, and I would hope that there's some urgency coming out on Thursday as they go on the road and take on Columbus. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Will from Bellevue on the text line says, we win 62% of the faceoffs, have 31 hits, 17 blocks, 10 takeaways, and we lose. Take 9 penalties to 5 for LA. 0 power play goals, a man up in overtime. That's the other thing, a power play in overtime too. We face their backup goalie, and Saros looks pedestrian. I know it's early, but what's going on with this team? The result is very frustrating. What are your thoughts? I don't think Saros has been top-level Saros yet by any stretch of the imagination. I actually thought for the most part last night he's pretty good. I mean, the first goal is a redirection in front of the net with nobody on the guy, and the other two just breakdowns out there. I mean, Saros right now, quite frankly, is the least of my worries if I'm a Predators fan.
Yeah. You know, and most of those, I mean, I know it's 9 goals, but most of them,
Well, they were complete no-shows in the Dallas series. Yeah. Like the back-to-back games against Dallas, I mean, it was a walking dead out there. Nobody was going.
Yeah, I don't think at this point, could Saros put the cape on and maybe change some results? Yeah, but at this point, I'd put him way down the list of things to worry about.
So again, I mean, you're 2-2-1. You know, it's not the end of the world. You get a point last night, at least, I guess. I mean, that's if you're the optimist, that's how you could look at it. I kind of view it the other way of, man, did you let a point slip away last night, and you gave one to a team that had no business getting one last night. But the fact of the matter is, you're 2-2-1. You're in a fine spot from a record standpoint. I mean, thank God they played the Sharks. The Sharks are 0-5, and they are just terrible. I mean, they've already got the coach talking about how fragile they are out there 5 games into the season. I mean, they're awful. So that's the good news. You took care of business against an awful team, but they are about 3 or 4 notches below where they should be in terms of the way that they play the game. And I do think with the expectations with this team, you expect better than what you've seen thus far, particularly defensively. Like they've just had some breakdowns defensively against Dallas and a couple times last night where you're just like, what is that? Like, you've got to be better defensively. So they got some things to figure out. And again, I know it's game 6 coming up on Thursday. There would need to be some urgency. And if there's not on Thursday, that would be concerning to me if I'm a Predators fan. Coming up next, we'll get into one area in particular that I think the Predators are really maybe overthinking things a little bit right now. That's next. This is Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. As always, Robbie Stanley here with you as your host. The Preds taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets coming up tomorrow night. They'll try to respond after 3 consecutive losses, 2 in regulation, 1 in a shootout last night to the LA Kings. And you know, as we just talked about, there are several different issues that you can point to right now with the Predators. The penalties, obviously a big problem. They got to get those figured out. We'll have Jeremy K. Gover on here in a few minutes to talk more about that and some of the issues with the Predators that they've got to get worked on as well. But I continue to just drill down on the power play right now, and it's five games in. We're very early into the season, but they look like a group to me, and specifically the first group, power play 1, with Josi, Duchesne, Granlund, Johansson, and Forsberg out there, who were so dynamic together, so lethal together all year long last year. Basically, from start to finish, they were a top 10 power play in the league last year. And right now, they're just not operating well. And they had 5 power play opportunities last night, could not convert on any of them. And right now, today, as we sit here leading into NHL action tonight, the Predators are converting on 4.8% of their power plays opportunities. That's 31st in the National Hockey League. Now, you know, that's a bad stat, and that doesn't sound great. I don't really freak out about stats like that until we get to about game 15. Game 20, where there's a decent sample size. You're only 5 games in, so it's important to keep that in mind at this point. But we know this. The Predators, that top unit, they're too talented to have struggled as much as they have so far on the power play. And look, they've had some power play opportunities and some sequences where they've looked pretty good out there, and the puck movement has been good, and they've had some opportunities to cash in that either have just bounced wide on them or the goalie's made a good save. It's not like they've just been totally anemic all the time out there on the power play, but the numbers are what they are. They're at 4.8% right now on the power play. And I just felt like watching them last night. Number one, there were a couple of power play opportunities last night where they had trouble getting the puck in the zone and setting up any sort of offensive sustained pressure. So obviously that's a problem. But I thought even when they did have some opportunities last night, be that in regulation, be that in the overtime period when they had a power play opportunity, there were chances that they had to pull the trigger and shoot the puck. And it kind of feels like they're trying to make the perfect play out there. And I don't know if pressing is the right word to use, but just kind of looking for that perfect execution play. And I thought part of what made the Predators' power play so good and so consistent last year was just the willingness to shoot the puck. They shot the puck a lot. And look, there are times where you can shoot the puck
and it's a stupid play. Like, you got a guy right in front of it, you shoot it into his shin pad, and all of a sudden it's a two-on-one going the other way. Like, there are times to shoot the puck and times not to, but I feel like the Predators in that top unit in particular are maybe guilty of trying to make the perfect play right now, and that's a tough spot to be in on the power play. So that's obviously something they got to get figured out as they move forward here. I would not change up the units at this point. Like, this top power play unit, to me, has earned enough trust, and they've had enough time together where I think you just got to find a way to dig your way out of it. I like the makeup of the power play unit. You know, they were talking on the ESPN broadcast last night about, well, maybe move Tanner Janot up to the first power play unit to have that net front presence. And, you know, you could kind of split up Janot and Niederreiter in terms of net front guys on the power play. And I hear the thought process behind that, but I like the power play unit as currently constructed on that power play one. I'm just still not convinced they've got the right personnel on power play two. I like Niederreiter. You know, Tolvanen's off to a decent start. Cody Glass is in there. You know, but do they have enough on that second power play unit? I don't know. We're gonna find out as they move forward here. But obviously, 31st ranked power play in the NHL is not good enough, and it's not acceptable with this group. So again, I'd wait until, you know, game 15, game 20 before you really start to drill down on statistically where you are. These things have a way of, you know, kind of evening out and reflecting where you should be over the course of a longer period of time, but certainly something that they've got to get figured out there. You know, I touched in the last segment on the expectations with this group, and I think the fan base does and should have high expectations for this team heading into this year. And I don't know that I'm talking about Stanley Cup expectations. I mean, obviously, when you look around and you see, you know, the Colorado Avalanche in your division and the way that Calgary's looked so far in the Western Conference, and, you know, Vegas has started things off really well. There are some good teams in the Western Conference, and Colorado is still unequivocally the favorite in the West. So I don't know that we're talking Stanley Cup contender or anything like that, but with Niederreiter and McDonough, Saros back and healthy, all the things that we talked about in the offseason here on this show of why the Predators should be good and, in my opinion, competing for maybe that second, third spot in the Central Division this year, I think that's more than fair. Like, I think those are fair expectations for this team. And right now, early on in the season, they just don't look very good. I mean, it's, you know, you can blame the Dallas back-to-back there on jet lag and coming back from Europe. And look, maybe that played a part in it. I thought in the home opener against Dallas last week, where they just got shelled in that game, I mean, everything looked off. They didn't look like they were skating quickly enough. They looked two steps slower than Dallas did. You know, the execution when they did get the puck was just almost non-existent. I mean, there was a lot of things that went wrong in those two Dallas games. So maybe it is as simple as you come back from Europe and your body and your body clock and everything that goes into it is just not where you expect it to be. But, like, you got to pull yourself out of that at this point. I thought it was better last night. You know, the Predators looked like they had some juice to them to begin the game against L.A. And then as the game goes on, I mean, you get in the third period and you're outshot 15-3 in that third period on a team that was on the second half of a back-to-back in overtime that had to travel. Like, that should be a situation where if you're the Predators, you close that thing out. You close that game out, and they just were unable to do it. So I say all of that to say the expectation should be high for this team. And right now, they're not living up to them. And I realize it's early. We're very early. I'm not saying it's time to freak out or panic or, I mean, heck, it may not even be time to be concerned yet. But the fact of the matter is they have not lived up to the billing thus far. And they're just making mistakes right now that with some veteran guys that they have on their team and most of the guys that they've got playing on the NHL level right now have been around the block a time or two in the NHL. Like, they should know better, and they should be able to play better than some of the mistakes they're making right now. So, you know, I said this in the last segment. They're not in a bad spot. They're 2-2-1 on the season. I mean, you've won two games. Mercifully, you've played the San Jose Sharks thus far, who look like they have a chance to be maybe the worst team in the league. They're 0-5, and they're bad. So you got two big wins against them. You get a point last night against L.A., even though I think you gave one away and left one on the table. You could be in a worse spot in the standings than they are right now, in my opinion, based on the way that they've played. But I think this game coming up Thursday is a big response game for the Predators. And I'll get to that coming up a little bit later in the show in terms of what I mean by that. But the expectations should be high for this team. And honestly, for me, both on this show, on Robbie and Rex Road, as I'm kind of analyzing the team, I'm viewing them through that lens. Like, there have been years that the Predators have played a certain way. Like, even last year, most people had them finishing, myself included, seventh in the Central Division. And they overachieved. They exceeded expectations. And you kind of view them through that lens. Well, the expectations have changed heading into this year. And not only, I think, outwardly, inwardly as well. When you go sign guys like Ryan McDonagh and Nino Niederreiter, that tells me that you're kind of having a shift of mindset of, all right, you've reset the roster, you've gotten younger, the window to win in terms of the drafting that you've been able to put together. I mean, there's some exciting things coming up in the prospect pool, but now you've made some moves that signal that you're ready to win now, and you're ready to get back to winning playoff series and hopefully, taking more steps to being a Stanley Cup contender. That's the lens that I'm viewing them through this year. They're a team that I feel like should be competing in the Central Division. Maybe not to win, but, second, third, behind the Avalanche should be the goal. And right now, I just think they've got a lot of problems that I didn't necessarily expect off the jump. I mean, the power play unit is one of them. I thought, especially with the familiarity there on the top unit, and quite frankly, the way it looked at in the preseason looked pretty good. Like, I thought you'd see pretty immediate success there, and you haven't. Up until last night's game against L.A., I thought Duchesne, Granlund, and Forsberg had been average at best. I thought Roman Josi had been average at best. And I thought the Hurd line hadn't been very good up until the game last night. And I still think there's room for improvement from all three of those things that I just mentioned. At least it was good to see, Tanner Janot get on the board last night, Philip Forsberg get on the board last night, Mikael Granlund, I thought, played really well against the Kings and had a couple, actually three, really, really good passes in that game. So all those are good things. But with this veteran team and this defense core now with McDonagh in there, you got to be able to close out a game like you saw last night. It's the NHL, and really over the last couple of years, protecting leads has become harder. I mean, some of the comebacks we saw last year, not just with the Predators, but throughout the league, were insane. So I think the NHL is kind of shifting that way. It's harder and harder to protect the league, or to protect the lead with the offensive firepower that the league has today. But this team should be better equipped, and there's a higher level, I think a much higher level, from this team than what we've seen thus far. In some ways, that's to be expected. It's the beginning of the season. You're not going to come out at the beginning of the season and play your best hockey. It doesn't work that way. It's a building process over the course of 82 games. But I think the Predators have a much higher level than they played. I said it in the last segment. I mean, I can think of, they've played five games to this point. You're talking about 15 periods of hockey plus an overtime period thrown in there as well. Like, I can think of, maybe five, six periods during that stretch where they've played, I think, good hockey. And the rest of it has been either average at best or poor. And you can't have that as your formula as you move forward here. So I think this is a big game coming up on Thursday. I know it's early in the season. It's October. Some people roll your eyes at big games in October. But I do think this is a big one coming up tomorrow against Columbus. And we'll get to the Columbus game itself and look ahead at the rest of this week for the Predators coming up here in just a few minutes. But coming up next, we'll be joined by our good friend Jeremy K. Gover. He was at the game last night. We'll get his thoughts on the game and some of the issues that we've talked about with the Predators that have cropped up over the course of the five games. That's next. This is Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley here with you as always, and we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Jeremy K. Gover, longtime Nashville Predators correspondent for AP Radio, and doing the It's All Your Fault podcast this year as well, so make sure you check that out. Jeremy, good morning, good afternoon, good night, whatever time it is. How are we doing?
Robbie, I'm great, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us today. So obviously, Jeremy, the results have been disappointing the last three times out. I mean, they got their doors blown off against Dallas in two games, and you blow a 3-1 lead last night in the third period against L.A. You lose 4-3 in the shootout. What do you make of exactly where the Predators are right now? Not necessarily just from the results, which have been obvious, but also just the way they're playing the game right now. What are you seeing out there right now from this team?
That's a difficult question because on one hand, you know, especially last night, right? You see, and I tweeted about this, you see Duchesne, Granlund, and Forsberg, when they're on the ice together, especially with Josi, it's borderline unfair. I mean, they look great. Like, they're not lighting up the score sheet or anything necessarily, but they look in sync. They look like they're in each other's heads. The chemistry is off the chart. You know, they're finding each other with these cross-eyed seam passes. And, you know, the Forsberg goal last night was a great example of that. You know, it's just unbelievable. So, you know, to me, that line is going really well. The Hurd line got a big goal last night. And they look good, but they've kind of been invisible for a while, which is interesting because that's the line that you kind of identified with since probably March of 21.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, this line is together. They, you know, they have found something, lightning in a bottle, whatever, and they haven't really been the same. And so it's in the end of last year even. Right? That line, I think, had no points, I think, in the month of April. And so, you know, then they carry into this season, not that great, but they finally broke through with a pretty good game last night. I guess overall, Robbie, what I'm saying is fans need to give this team time, map out all the new pieces, right? I mean, Niederreiter has been great, but he's new. McDonough has had his warts, but he also looked very good last night on the penalty kill especially. And so, you know, you can, okay, well, let him work that out. Ekholm was flipped to the right side as opposed to the left side, so you got to give him time to work that out. There's a lot of little pieces. And so you hope that Cody Glass's goal kickstarts him. It's his first goal as a Predator, which is hard to believe considering he's been in the system for 2 years now. And but I don't know. It's for me, I think it's they need to settle down and play their game. It's so cliche and stupid as it comes out of my mouth. but it really is like in San Jose, in Prague against San Jose. I remember watching this team and being very excited for the season. I was like, if this is what this team is. Most of the time, not obviously both games in their entirety, but if this is what this team is, it's going to be an exciting year. And then they go play against Dallas, the two-game set against Dallas here stateside, and it was the opposite.
Yeah.
It was, oh, God, is this what this team is? Because this is a problem, right? And then I think last night against L.A., we got a hybrid of the two. There were moments where they looked like the team they played against San Jose, and then in the last 7 or 8 minutes of the game, when the Kings came back from a 3-1 deficit and tied it to force overtime and then eventually shootout, they look like the team against Dallas. So this team's got to figure out what it is.
So, Jeremy, to that point, I mean, look, we knew based on the personnel that they have and what the season looked like last year that penalties were going to be high with this team. I mean, look, there's fighting majors that you've got to account for, you know, penalties of aggression on the forecheck and all these different things. But the talking point today, obviously, when you lose the game in the fashion the Predators did last night, had 9 penalties in the game last night. And some of those I thought were just egregious stick foul errors that you can't have. And those happened and cropped up in their game a few times last year as well. So as you sit here today, if you're John Hines in this coaching staff, obviously you want your team to be aggressive. You want them to play as hard as they can, and penalties are going to happen when you do that. But how do you go about trying to address some of the stick fouls and some of the unnecessary penalties that I thought they took last night that just absolutely kill you? Even if they don't kill you on the power play and your penalty kill kills them off, there's just no flow to the game whatsoever. And that's been a problem now for a while for the Predators. How do you go about trying to address that if you're John Hines, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a great point you just made is that fans, I think, forget. Like, okay, so the team's not scoring on the power play or maybe their penalty kill is great or whatever it is, but special teams get your team out of rhythm. Those third and fourth line guys that aren't used in special team situations are now sitting for long lengths of time when they should be in the flow of a game. They get in the groove, right? So that's number one. Number two, I will say in fairness to the penalties last night, there were a couple that seemed to kind of come out of nowhere. And what I mean by that is they didn't seem to be egregious. Like, I mean, they definitely had their fair share of egregious.
Maybe
you're wrong. You're right. But there's a couple penalties that I remember thinking. I think one of them, if I'm not mistaken, was the Roman Josi hooking call.
That one was brutal. Yeah.
Yeah. So yes, they had 9 penalties on the score sheet, but really, there's probably took 7. Okay, again, not a great number. Still don't want to take 7, but the fact remains that they had a power play in overtime. A full, it was like 1:47 or something. It was pretty close to the full 2 minutes in overtime when Drew Doughty took a holding call thanks to Philip Forsberg's sweep crash to the net and drew a penalty. And so, but they couldn't score on that. And Cal Peterson came up with some great saves, especially a cross ice one. So there is that. To address the question at hand, though, which is about the penalties, I don't know what more they can do other than maybe fine players or make them pick up sticks, or they got to do partner's job.
Miss the team meal, yeah.
Gatorade water bottle. I don't know what it is, but there's got to be something creative they can come up with that says, look, if you take more than one penalty in this game, as a player, not the whole team, one penalty in the it's like Lozon took 2, for example.
Yeah.
We're pretty bad. So then you gotta have some consequences, because they're the most penalized team in the league with 68 penalty minutes. And before anybody hears this on Wednesday night and they're like, hey, they played 2 extra games in Europe. Yeah, they did. But the rest of the league is caught up. So it's not like it's a lopsided number. They've taken the most penalties in the league, 68 minutes, and they've spent the most time, basically most time per game on the power play in the top 5, with 13.36 penalty minute time per game. That's ridiculous. And if your power play can't be lights out when you get those opportunities, you definitely can't put the other team on the power play either. And let's go ahead and talk about next month when they're playing Edmonton and yeah. Colorado. Right? In Calgary. Like, you're going to get slaughtered if this trend continues.
Yeah, I mean, it's a major problem that they've got to get figured out. Jeremy Kegover on with us here on Preds Insiders. So, Jeremy, it's been interesting. As you said, we're 5 games in. Look, I thought last night's loss was brutal, just the way it transpired. You lose a 3-1 lead. But I keep coming back to, your 5 games in. It's going to be a process to get things figured out here, and I think everybody understands that. But I do look at the defense scores right now. For the most part, I like what I've seen from McDonough and Ekholm. I think, especially as they continue to grow together, that's got a chance to be a pretty good shutdown pairing. It is interesting to me that they've already, at least based on last night, moved off of Josi and Carrier. Quite frankly, I don't think Carrier has been very good so far this year, and I think it's a combination of his play and Fabro's play moving up last night with Josi that was interesting to see. But what do you make overall of the defense and the way that they've played thus far? Because I think there's some room to grow there from what we've seen thus far from those guys.
Well, we talked about this on the latest It's All Your Fault podcast, and how the defense core, for me, is the big question mark this season, right? So, like, McDonough and Ekholm was a pairing. When they acquired McDonough, it was like, oh, my God, they just shored up the top 4. Now Fabro can move down to a third pair where he kind of belongs on this team. And, now you either put Lozon in there or you put Borowiecki in there if you're playing a heavier team, whatever. But it gives you the options, and it kind of puts everybody – what Barry Trotz used to say, Robbie? Everybody sits on their correct seats on the bus.
Yeah, the right seat on the bus.
Yeah, right seat on the bus. Yeah, so that trade allowed them to do that, okay? But the problem has been Ekholm flipping to the right side. So he goes to the right side, and he needs time to figure that out. And for those who are trying to be like, well, just play defense on the right, it's not the same. It's a completely different way to play the game. He's even told, I think, Braden Gall, I think, on the Gold Standard podcast, he even said something like, instead of being on the left side when the puck rims around to hold for a keep-in, he's got to think twice about how to handle that puck on the right side. And then he can't just whip off a one-timer to get it towards the net and let chaos happen on
right.
the right side because he's on the off hand. So there's more to it. Okay, don't oversimplify it. I guess what I'm trying to say is that pairing, to me, until last night, hadn't really worked out very well. But again, I'm willing to give it until probably December 10th or 12th, before a third of the season, before I declare it dead, right? Like before I say, okay, figure it out, break it up, whatever you got to do, because you got to give them time. McDonough's on a new team in a new situation. Ekholm's on the opposite side. Give them time to figure it out. They're both pros. They're both consummate pros. They're both great at their job. They'll be fine. But the other question is, you're right, Carrier has not been great, but he has not been horrible, I don't think. But Fabro doesn't need to be on the first pairing. I understand that Yossi's there as a safety valve, but Josi can't be a safety valve, right? You want your best, most talented player, your Norris Trophy should be winner, to be himself and not have to worry about protecting Fabro. So for me, once they figure that out, then they can figure out who is on the top pair. If Carrier figures it out and that puts, you know, Fabro back on the third pair, that's great. That's how it should be. But Carrier's got to get his act together.
What's your thoughts on the Philip Tomasino situation? Because I said this morning on Robbie and Rex Road, and I stand by it. Like, I think when you start talking about some of the fringe guys, you know, the Kiefer Sherwoods and the Cole Smiths and the Zach Sanfords of the world, you know, I can buy into they had better camps and they made the team out of camp and you've got a specific role in mind for them. I can buy into all that, and that's fine. But to me, Jeremy, when you're talking about fringe players and then they start committing penalties and they're not helping you out there and they're, in fact, hurting you out there, I think it's easy to look at the coaching staff after that and say, well, maybe you should get your most talented players up here and put them in the system. What do you think of the Philip Tomasino situation starting the season in Milwaukee? And, you know, obviously some of this is based on how he responds and plays down there, but how long are you willing to give him in Milwaukee before, if you're John Hines and David Poyer, you look around and say, yeah, we need that guy at the NHL level?
All right, two things. One, I don't think Cole Smith belongs on this roster, the NHL roster. I think he does belong in the AHL. However, I will also say that that's not Tomasino's spot.
Right.
Right? Like, if he gets called up to the NHL, he's not going to be a fourth-line winger. Right? So you can't just make a clean trade like that, even though on paper that would seem to make the most sense. Okay. Secondly, Tomasino going down to Milwaukee, I think they hope it's like a Cody Glass 2.0. I think they hope that he goes down there like Cody Glass did, not unexpectedly, but, you know, he was like the big piece of the Ryan Ellis trade, you know, and all this. And so it was disappointing when he went down to Milwaukee. But what he did was he went down there with the right attitude, surprisingly, by the way, because he had every reason to, you know, pout. And he ended up leading the team in scoring in 66 games. He had 62 points, basically a point per game player at the AHL level. And then he has a great camp. He has that real emotional, you know, when they keep him on the roster, bring him to Europe, he had that real emotional video that was put out.
Yeah.
And I think they hope Tomasino is the same thing. He goes down there. He played well last year. If he scored, we used to say this all the time, right? If he scored in half the breakaways he had, he'd have like 25 goals.
Yeah.
But if Tomasino felt entitled at all, even subconscious, where he felt entitled, oh, I've made the team, and then he had a bad camp, and he goes down to Milwaukee, I hope they think that he's going to go down with the right attitude, go crush it, and dominate the AHL like he should, and then earn that call-up. The question is, where do they put him, right? You're not going to break up the third line, at least for now. The first line, obviously, is what it is. And then the second line is probably where I had him slotted coming into the season, was on Johansson's wing.
Yeah.
But now Tolvanen has earned that. Tolvanen all of a sudden has 3 points in five games and looks pretty good. He threw a big hit last night and blocked a huge shot right later in the game to keep the lead. So you're like, okay, he's doing all the right things. So how do you take him off the second line, right? Because he doesn't belong on the fourth line either. So I think it's all about Tomasino's attitude down in Milwaukee, whether he can dominate like he should, get all the playing time he can, and, unfortunately, there's a formula here, and where do they put him in the NHL roster? And I think that's the biggest question.
It's a really fascinating scenario that they've got. I'm interested to see how that part of it plays out as Milwaukee starts to get rolling as well. Jeremy K. Gover with us here on Preds Insiders, AP radio correspondent, co-host of It's All Your Fault podcast with the Nashville Scene. Jeremy, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Thanks, buddy.
Absolutely. Jeremy K. Gover here with us on Preds Insiders. Coming up next, we'll take your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025, and we'll look at what my expectations are for this group as they head into what I think is an important game response-wise from the Predators coming up tomorrow against Columbus. This is Preds Insiders, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Preds Insiders here on 1025-1063 The Game. Brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. The Predators back in action tomorrow, coming up against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Columbus gets on the board with their first win of the season last night in overtime. Preds going on the road, I guess, for the second time technically this year, although the Europe trip was, I mean, that's a road trip. You had one home game, one road trip, a road game credited to your account there. But Preds back on the road tomorrow against Columbus. Game starts at 6 o'clock tomorrow as well. You can catch it here on 1025-1063 The Game. You know, I've said this throughout the show that the Predators had a lot of problems so far this year that they're going to have to get figured out as they move forward. Tomorrow, to me, is a big response game for the Predators, not only in terms of effort, because I think the effort will be there. I think the effort, for the most part, was there against L.A. And quite frankly, like the effort part of it, I'm not saying it doesn't happen at the NHL level where teams don't have enough effort, because it does, and I've seen it. I think that gets way overblown sometimes. Most nights, the effort's not really the problem. A lot of times, it's execution. I think the effort will be there tomorrow against Columbus, but do you have enough poise? Do you have enough pride? Do you have enough, you know, stamina to play the way that you need to play? That to me is the question. The Predators to this point, outside of probably the first game against San Jose, and that's about it. I didn't even think the second game against San Jose was all that great. The first game against San Jose, I think they played the way they needed to play for the most part. That's about it that we've seen thus far from the Predators, in the regular season. I think it's important to get back to that way tomorrow. And that means, you know, poise with the puck, making good decisions, shooting the puck when you need to shoot it, not looking for that extra pass all the time. But it also means attention to detail and defensive zone coverage. And it means paying attention to where your stick is in relation to, you know, the opposing team's skate or face or anything that might get you called for a penalty. Some of the stick fouls that they had in the L.A. game I thought were just egregious, and you can't have those moving forward. So John Hines, I mean, you could sense a little bit of frustration last night, and he even said it in his postgame last night after the game against L.A. It wasn't really an effort thing. It was more of a smarts thing. I think smarts was the term that he used after the game last night. So now that you've had that happen, can you go on the road to an environment where, you know, it's going to be an exciting game? The Columbus Blue Jackets have Johnny Gaudreau now, you know, a big-time free agent that chose to go there, and they get their first big win the other night at home. Like, it's going to be a good environment in Columbus coming up tomorrow night. Can you go in there and play your game and impose your will on somebody? That's what the Predators last year at times, when they were really clicking, they imposed their will. And I'm talking physically, but I'm also talking with just the way they played the game. And executing and not making, you know, the complicated plays too much, just making the simple plays and really controlling the puck and doing things that way. They were good at that when they were on last year, and just haven't seen much of that so far this year in the regular season. So can you play your game and impose your will against the Columbus Blue Jackets? That's going to be the question that I have. And you're back at home coming up on Saturday night against Philadelphia, a red-hot Philadelphia team. So far this year, kind of one of the surprises of the NHL to begin the season. They're at 3-0-0 entering tonight's play. They're playing tonight as well, second half of a back-to-back, as they take on the Florida Panthers coming up. Actually, that game has gotten underway. So the Panthers and the Flyers taking place tonight. But, you know, this is a big couple of games here for the Predators. You know, the result's important. Like, you need to find yourself back in the win column. You need to collect, in my opinion, 4 points in these next two games. You need to beat Columbus. You need to beat Philadelphia coming up on Saturday night at home. I'm interested to see if UC Soros gets both of them. I think that he will. Not many back-to-back scenarios coming up in the immediate future for the Predators. So, you know, we saw Lankinen get in there in that second game in Prague against the Sharks on a game which was a back-to-back setting. Not another back-to-back coming for a while for the Predators. So will Kevin Lankinen see any action anytime soon? Is it going to be the UC Soros show as they move forward? Like, you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier. I think Soros has been fine so far. I think he's been okay. I actually thought he played pretty well last night against LA for the most part, made some big saves in the game. But, you know, he certainly is not at top level, UC Soros. I think that's fair to say. So, you know, can he get there? Can he get there soon? And, you know, can the Predators be better in front of him defensively? That to me is still, when you look at this team, we can talk about the power play, and it's got to get better, and we could talk about, you know, more consistency from Yossi and Duchesne and Forsberg and Granlund and Johansson, those guys offensively. All that stuff's important, and secondary scoring, all of it's important. But to me, if this team is going to be what I think it can be, and that is a team that is certainly a playoff team, maybe even has a chance to do some damage once the playoffs come around, to me, if they're going to be able to accomplish that, it all starts with defense and their commitment to being a good team defensively. And I think we've seen that in spurts so far this year where they've been a good defensive team. And I also think it's totally gotten away from them at times so far this year. So, you know, you're not going to be perfect out there. I think everybody understands that. But you've got to be a little bit more consistent defensively than they've been thus far. So we'll see if they can do that starting tomorrow night against the Columbus Blue Jackets. That's going to do it for us today here on Preds Insiders. We'll be back next Wednesday night to talk all things Nashville Predators hockey. Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. We'll talk to you next week. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.